I definitely ask for your prayers this morning. I'm not a morning person. I don't like to talk in the morning. And where I come from, it's only 9 a.m. So we need the Lord to help us today to deliver the burden that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart. There's a scripture in 1 Thessalonians that says, "Prove all things and hold fast that which is good." And so my burden this morning is not to turn loose of things that are good. That there are a lot of things the Lord has delivered to us that we need to fight for, that we need to hold close, that we need to have a determination in our heart and in our mind to set our face and to hold fast to the things that the Lord has given us. But my burden is in the opposite direction this morning. That I have found in my experience and my testimony that I cannot grow and I cannot move down the road with the Lord when I have things that I'm holding on to that the Lord wants us to give to Him. And it is our human nature and our humanity is that we have ideas, we have experiences, and those things affect us. And they cause us to have a determination of our own that it, and some of us have different personalities, and some may be more determined than others. But I really feel like that's an outward demonstration that I think every human being, we have our areas of control that we like to have, and we don't like to be out of control or not be able to keep track of or manipulate the things in our environment. That make us feel most comfortable or that we're not willing to let go of or let loose of for a whole host of reasons. And I feel like the Lord has laid some specific things on my mind that I want to touch on this morning. But I want to start with a little bit with persuading us of the better things that the Lord has for us. I believe that in order for us to exercise faith, there has to be a time where we have to let go. The opposite of faith is if there's something that I can hold to that's constant. I mean, faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's I think of a child that's holding on to maybe standing on a ledge and the father is saying, "Jump to me," and I feel secure where I am. And if I jump, I don't know if you'll catch me for sure. There's an uncertainty that comes from letting go. There has to be a faith and a trust that if I do let go of the things that I'm holding on to, that the Lord is going to be able to bring about better things or to answer the concerns or the hurts or whatever it is it might be that is holding me or keeping me from taking that step. I'd like to read in Hebrews in the 11th chapter, and in the 13th verse, this chapter of faith talks about many different ones that exercise their faith by obeying God and following through with God's will and what He directed them to do. The 13th verse says, "These all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." And I appreciate the city that God has made for us, the city of God that we can dwell in this land. But I also have a vision and a desire that I want to make heaven my home. And we heard some about that last night, that I have a determination that I want to reach the land that God has intended for me. And it is hard for us sometimes to turn loose of the land that we are in. And we need a vision of what God has for us or prepared for us. I need to be fully persuaded that God's intention and that song about the test of time and being persuaded that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I have to be persuaded in my heart that God is able to take all the experiences and the things that I'm going through to bring me to an expected end and to a better land and to a better country. And ultimately to be able to take this earthen vessel, this human being in this life, and be able to take me to heaven to be able to spend eternity with Him. And if I'm going to be able to make that journey, there are going to have to be places where I have to let go of some things in this life. I'm going to have to be willing to say, Lord, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how it touches me, how it affects me. I'm willing to give it to You because I am persuaded that You have something better for me. There's a quote about a man who spoke for the NRA. His name was Charlton Heston. I wrote it down because I don't want to misquote him. But he said, I'll give you my gun when you pry it from my cold, dead hands. And they used that as a motto because he was determined that no matter what you do, you're not going to take this from me. In our humanity, we can have that kind of determination that no matter what happens, you're not going to pry this. Until I'm dead, I'm going to hold on to this. And the more things are personal to us, the more we may not say that, but for sure that is the attitude of our heart and of how we conduct ourselves, maybe not openly, but in the inward parts, that from my cold, dead hands, it's impossible. You won't be able to pry this from me. So there has to be a desire and an understanding that the Lord has a place that He's bringing us to. And Lord, I'm willing to let go of whatever it is that is hindering me from being able to reach the place that You have for me. We live out in Oregon and we have the privilege of making that long drive every year we come back here. And we live at the end of the Oregon Trail. We have a museum there in Oregon City. And I'm always impressed as we make that trek across the different mountain ranges. We go across Oregon and across Washington and we go through Utah and up through Wyoming. There's a couple different routes that you can take. But there's all different kinds of terrain. There's all kinds of different environments that you have to go through. And here we are in a 2000 new model vehicle that's got all the best equipment and comfort and utility. And there are still times that the weather and environment can even cause these modern vehicles to not be able to make this journey. And I think about those that loaded all of their belongings, all of their treasured things in a wooden wagon with wooden wheels, with animals, and loaded all their family and started this trek across this very harsh and barren land. It boggles my mind in what persuasion they must have had that the land that they were going to was greater than the land that they were leaving. And yet when they started, you can read the books, they put many things they brought with them. They load that piano in there that meant so much from the old days, and it's weighing half of that wagon down over to the side, and they start that journey, and those that had taken the journey before them are saying that that's just impossible. It's just, you don't understand what lies ahead, that you cannot take that with you. But until I see it, until I come to that place, our humanity is, I'm going to bring that thing by hook or by crook. I'm going to bring that thing because I want it with me. But if you followed that journey, you would find all sorts of things scattered along the side of the road. What a sight that must have seen sometimes to just randomly see this trunk and this heirloom and this all these items that people over time had determined it's just not worth it. It does not have the merit or the value that I thought it had, or it's been holding me back, or it's something that is going to cause me to not reach the destination that I am persuaded is better than where I started. And I think about this morning of what is in our wagon. I know in my own life there are times that I'll go through experiences and things affect me, and they come back again and again, and I have to ask the Lord to help me to lay those things aside. And the enemy knows those places of sensitivity, and he wants us to pick up again sometimes those things that we have felt. The Lord has told us to lay that aside. And there's a lot of things that can fit into that category, and they're close things. There's hurts and offenses. There's things people have done. I'll tell you, even to get up here and preach this morning, I have to lay aside some things. What do people think? Well, I heard somebody said this. And there's some people just, oh man, that's Brother Kenny got up again. I got to lay it aside or I'm going to sit there. But I'm persuaded the Lord has given me something that he wants. And I have to lay aside my reputation or what people might think and be obedient to the Lord, because it means more to me than anything else. So what am I carrying this morning? What is hindering me in this journey? I've got to be persuaded that there is something greater. There's a part of this scripture, I don't know if I read it or not. Yeah, in the 13th verse, it says, "And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth." I have to have the attitude that this life and all that it entails is just temporary. That song said fleeting, this fleeting life. And I'm 45, I turned 45 this year, so maybe I'm in my middle ages, not how long I'll live. But our perspective changes over time. When we're young, our dreams and our ambitions and the things that we take into account take in a lot of things. But for me anyway, and I think a lot of my peers, when you get into your 30s and your 40s and even your 50s, life has taken a shape and a form that maybe doesn't fully represent what I thought it would be. I have to come to grips with it. Maybe some of the ideals or even some of the dreams or even some of the passions or ambitions that I had may or may not meet the expectation that I had when I was younger. Maybe I had a vision or an idea, or I had goals set of what I wanted to see. But I have to remember above all that in this land, in this life, I am just passing through. That the things that matter, the things that I want to carry with me are the things that are eternal or the things that are going to last forever. It's a fleeting life. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm journeying through this place. Yet there are so many things that will hinder or entrap us in this life that will hold us back in this fleeting life. These are the places that the enemy uses to discourage us, to cause us to question the faith that we have heard or that we have experienced. People may have let us down. We may have had faith in someone or had an ideal about something that didn't come to full fruition. And the disappointment and the discouragement from that begins to be something that weighs us down. And as the Lord calls us and leads us, we have to begin to deal with those places and say, "Lord, I'm willing to give those things into your hand, to take that burden or that place of disappointment and give it to the Lord. I'm just passing through this place. It's just a fleeting life, which will soon be over." In 2 Timothy, in the second chapter, in the fourth verse, he says, "No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier." I think about living that lifestyle. There's a real difference between being in a wartime and in a peacetime. To being in a place where there is a battle or where there is a war being fought, and being in a place where there is peace. And I don't take anything from the place of rest and the place of peace that the Lord has given us in our heart and in our life. But we are in a battle and we are in a fight for our soul and for our lives until we lay this life down. I cannot be lax. I cannot think that there is not a war, there is a battle that I have to fight. And the mindset of a soldier is that every day I have to fight this battle. And a man that is warring, a man that is battling, cannot take the approach that I'm going to set up my homestead and I'm going to build all of these things to a step because I have a fight that I have to deal with. I have to be ready to move and to go. I think about it from that mindset as Paul brought it out, that if I'm in the idea that I've got to keep all of these things with me, that I've got to carry all and everything, and then as I've got to move from battle or from place to place, then I've got to bring all of it with me. What an encampment I have to set up from place to place to place. It's complicated then. It's heavy. It's difficult. It's full of challenge where I spend all of my time dedicated to dealing with my stuff and my things and the things I've surrounded myself versus with I've got a battle on my hands. Lord, help us to be able to identify those things that have encumbered us and caused us to be so inward focused and self-focused that I can't see the battle. All that I'm thinking about is what's happened to me and how this is my lot and how all of it, and my whole perspective is about my encampment and myself, and I really don't have any thought about the battle that's on my hands. Lord, help me to be able to begin to see myself in the light that, Lord, if I could lay the things down, I'm quick and I'm nimble and I'm ready to go and I'm ready to work. I'm ready to fight. I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger in this land. And the things that inhibit us are often attached to the things of this life. They're the things that hold us back. They're the things that cause us to not want to take that next step or to give ourselves entirely to the Lord. There's countless examples that we could use this morning of people that came to the place where they had to make the decision whether they would trust the Lord and whether they would leave the comforts or the things that would encumber them and follow after God, or whether they would stay in their place of need or their place of despair, whatever their environment is. And I thought of a few of them. And they all have a different application. You remember when Jesus came along to the fishermen that were fishing? And they had a lifestyle. They had something that they were comfortable in. And he told them to leave their nets. We've heard messages about what those nets represented. But he said, leave your nets and come and follow me. And there's a choice to be made. Am I going to leave the things behind that have been my comfort zone, have been my place of security, so to speak? And I'm going to follow after this one who is going to offer me a better and a different life. What choice am I going to make? And the choices that they made changed the trajectory of their life and made them impactful. But there comes a time for all of us in different areas of our life when the Lord comes along and he says, okay, it's time. And then we've got to decide, am I going to allow that or am I going to stay in that place of comfort and security? Am I going to stay on the ledge or am I going to jump and allow the Lord to catch me? You think of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had a lot of things in his life that I'm sure he enjoyed, but there was something missing. There was a heartache. There was something in his life that needed to be addressed. And when the Lord came and he climbed up in the tree and he looked at him, he said, I'm coming to your house today. He had a choice to make. And as the Lord began to deal with him, it wasn't inevitable. It wasn't just, I don't believe that. He had no choice in the matter. But as the Lord began to deal with his heart, he had to make the determination, I'm going to be willing to give up all of these things that I've accrued, whether right or wrongfully, and I'm going to follow this man. I'm going to understand that the journey that I'm on is greater than what I can see with my natural eyes. Think of the blind man. We heard about him in this meeting. Says he flung his garment to the side. To me, I've meditated on that many times, that garment had, I think, great symbolism for him. It has symbolism for me in my life when I think about it in that application. There's a lot of security that came from that. There's a lot of things that keeps me where I'm at, but I hold to it because it's what I know. And when the Lord comes along and he begins to knock and he says, it's time to give that to me, then our heart has to react like that man where he said he flung it to the side and he went. He calleth thee. When that calling comes, there comes a time then to let go. With a calling comes a letting go. And again, as I mentioned at the beginning of this thought, that there are things we prove that are good that we hold fast to. And I'm not talking about that this morning. But when the Lord begins to call and He begins to deal with those places in our life that have hindered us, that have kept us, that we know that the Lord has begun to deal with and began to press on, and we have a decision to make in those places. Lord, and am I going to hold on to it, or am I going to give it to you? I think about the times that the Lord took care of His people. The prophet, He told him to go from one place to the next. One place He said, arise and go to Zarephath. He took him from one place and He fed him, and there was one spot where the waters ran dry. And he could have stayed in that place and said, well, the Lord called me here. This is where He put me. And there's no more water in the rock and I'm dying of thirst, but this is where the Lord brought me. When the Lord tells us and calls us and says it's time to lay some things aside, especially those pet things that have hindered us, Lord, I'm going to have to be willing to arise and to go where the blessing of the Lord is. Lord, I'm willing to follow you. These things that mattered so much to me, they can be specific. The devil uses things to hinder and to hold us back. Oh, the church said this. I'll never, because I heard this, and now that becomes the center part of my hindrance and the center part of my wagon. And it'll hinder us in our journey. This person said that, and now when they get up and testify, that's all I think about, is I knew this about that. I heard, or this offense came that someone did something to someone that I care about, and now if I see them, that's all I see in front of my eyes as well. I know that, and I may not even have the facts straight. The devil doesn't care about that. What he cares about is building up those things in our mind till they become such weights that when the Lord calls us, it's the hindrance of the thing that I can't let go of. And the Lord's saying, no, if you'll give that to me, I have a land that is greater. I have a blessing that is greater. I can meet those needs that you have. One place it says, but you would not. Lord, help me to be willing to submit my will and my desire and my flesh when He calls it. That's really where the battle is. At least it is for me. Because I want. I like how this feels. I want to meditate on the hurt that I have. I pet it, so to speak. It's mine and it's deep. And it means something to me, and someone broke their word, but it has a hold on me. And when I like to take that time to pet it sometimes and spend time in that dark little spot, and the whole time it's just infecting every part of my experience. It's just infecting me. It's causing me to have a bitterness that I may not speak out, but it's inside there, and it's in that place that just holds me where the Lord is calling me. And I have to be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to give it up. Lord, I'm going to give it to you. Lord, I understand that I may not know how. And that's the beauty of when the Lord calls us to put things in His hands, to lay our burden at His feet, that I don't have to know how exactly that works. I don't have to put all the pieces together. I don't have to build a formula and a 12-step program. I don't have to go back and say, well, no, I just have to submit myself and say, Lord, I'm willing. Yes. And then when I have to act through on that willingness, and that's where you hold on to the faith, and Lord, I'm willing to put this in your hands, and Lord, I'm going to leave it there. Lord, I'm going to let you have it. I'm not going to pick it up again. I'm not going to carry it with me. I'm going to say, Lord, it's yours. And I would say that if there are things that are hindering us, if there are things that are holding us back that need action, then take the action. If someone has offended me and it's caused me to have trouble and you can't get over it, then go talk to that person. Go tell them you hurt me. Open it up. Say, look, I'm hurting here and I don't want to. Maybe you didn't intend it, but please just do whatever it takes, how the Lord inspires us to be able to turn loose of that thing. And if I've hurt somebody and I think, well, I was justified, what I did, it was, yeah, I feel I was in the right. But I know that it's caused someone to have a place of offense where they're being hindered. Then I want to be willing to say, Lord, my destination, this life is so fleeting. What does it matter in the end? What does my reputation? Jesus said he took upon himself of no reputation. His desire was that all be, he laid down the deity of being the Son of God and took on the form of flesh. This was the example that he gave us as a servant. He washed Judas's feet. His heart was such. So Lord, I want to follow that example that who I am or what people think doesn't mean anything. Lord, I want to be where you want me to be, and whatever it takes that I might lighten my load and the load of my brothers and sisters. What has hindered us? No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life. Also in 2 Timothy and in the first chapter, in the 7th verse, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, most of the time I feel that turning loose of things is because I'm afraid. It's often the thing that hinders us. Especially if I feel justified. Because if I turn loose of it, I lose my high ground. I lose my justification for how I feel and maybe even how I conduct myself. And I can still have an attitude, and there's all of these things that follow through. And there is really a fear of if I turn loose of that, I'm going to have to love them. I'm going to have to forgive them. I'm going to have to take a step that is vulnerable and hard for me to enter into. But he's not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a sound mind, love and power. He fills us with his grace when we're willing to say, okay, Lord, it's enough. It's enough. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but that be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, who hath given us, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. This was the conviction of Paul, that the things that he could give to the Lord that he was able to keep, that he was able to present unto him. And we maybe won't take time to read it, but in another part he talks about all of his accomplishments, the things that he could have stood on, his recognition and his history and his learning and his knowledge, even his zeal, all the things that were according to the flesh. But he said, I count them as dung. There had to be a time when he turned loose of who Saul was to become Paul. And when I'm able to commit those things unto the Lord and to believe that he's able to keep all, it's no longer my burden. It's no longer my offense. It's no longer my mine. But now it's the Lord's. Lord, I'm able to give it to you and ask you to carry this for me. Lord, I'm able to ask you that you would bear the weight. Because there are real things in life that affect us. Very real things. I'm not talking about somebody cutting us off on the freeway. If you're still offended over that, then you've got bigger problems. I'm talking about the real things that have changed my life, maybe, that I still struggle with, that cause me to have challenges that maybe other people don't deal with. I'm still going to have to be able to take those things and give them to the Lord. Lord, and he's able. His shoulders are big enough to carry it. He has enough grace and he has enough love and he has enough mercy to carry those things for us. And when I think about the love of God and I think about his faithfulness and I think about his vision and his sight, talked about the searchlight last night, and he's able to look upon our heart and see the things that matter the most to us, there is a great love inside of God that says, I want to carry that. I want to take that from you. I have the ability and I can give you that sound mind and that love and that power in your life to overcome those places. It doesn't have to be our abode. It doesn't have to be our place where we have to live. I don't have to live in this place. It may not be in my own fault. It may not be because of things I've done, but things that have happened to me. But the Lord is able to carry it for us. He's big enough. And his love is great enough. And I believe with all of my heart that this was the center part of the Lord's ministry. And he wanted to set the captive free, to bind the bruised. It is the very essence of what salvation is to be able to carry those things that we can. He said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you know when I'm carrying all those things, there's not very much rest. There just isn't. It's too heavy. And it continues to trip and it continues to hold me. Discontentment can be one of our biggest challenges. Scripture tells us that comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise. I think expectations are good. I want to have expectations of the Lord. I think it's good to have goals and ambitions, things that we work towards. I think that there's a reward in hard work, and those are all valuable things. But the opposite of that is when we deal with disappointment, or we feel like that we have not received or acquired what we think we're justly due. Or maybe even, I don't know, when we grew up, we weren't allowed to say it's not fair. We got in trouble for that. Not fair was not allowed. Because it was a reflection on someone else got something that I didn't. And there is a tendency in our humanity that when we live our life in that place, then there's no satisfaction with the things that the Lord has done for me. My focus is not on, Lord, the blessings that you've given me, the things that you have performed in my life for me personally, but the enemy wants to point outside at all. Well, you didn't have this and you didn't have that and this got... It'll lead us down a dark path. It'll lead us in a place where we find no peace and no satisfaction. The Lord has a portion for us that is perfect just for me. Do you believe that this morning? That the journey that the Lord has you on is right for you in your life. It may not be the same as someone else's, but it's what's right for you. And my journey is right for me. I can trust the Lord with that. And if I have expectations that the Lord has led me in a different direction, I'm going to have to be willing to say, Lord, they're yours now. I'm going to give them to you. They may mean a lot to me, and I think that some things the Lord still allows us to have a heart for, but if they start to become something that trips me where I can't trust God or I can't follow after him, then there's a consecration and a calling for us to say, Lord, I'm going to give it. You know what it means to my heart, but I'm willing to give it to you, that it not disturb the peace and the thankfulness for what you've done in my life. Turn to Hebrews in the 12th chapter. The first verse is, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I have to look at this life as a race. I have to look at it as a journey that the Lord is leading me on, and that there is a destination that he has in mind, that the good thoughts he has towards me to bring me to an expected end, that the experiences and the things that I go through are for a purpose. And this says the weight that does so easily beset us. It just becomes something so easy to distract and to pull me to the side. But I have to look unto the one that has authored or began and finished my faith. The one that has called me. The one that has prepared me. The one that has been faithful all along the way. The one that has proven himself through situation and situation. The Lord, I'm willing to lay that laying, that letting. Yes. Scripture says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So there's an action on my part. I can hinder that peace of God from rolling over us when I do not let. So there has to be a letting or a laying aside. There's a song we sing. The third verse says, now I have flung myself recklessly out like a chip on the stream of the infinite will. It says, I passed through the rough rocks with a smile and a shout, and I just let my God his dear purpose fulfill. I cannot say that I always pass through the rough rocks with a smile and a shout. Sometimes I'm banging off the sides of them as I go. But Lord, my heart's desire is that I want to make it through. And if there are things in my life that are hindering me, that are causing me to not be able to follow you in the way that you want me to, if they're causing me to live from sigh to sigh or from place of heartache to heartache, Lord, I want to be able to give those things to you. Lord, I want to be able to put my expectation and my ambitions, those offenses or those hurts that have hindered and held me. The Lord has a heart and shoulders big enough to carry those for us. I pray the Lord has stirred your heart this morning. He has a desire to bring you closer to him. He has a desire to have you in a wealthy land. Yes, we're pilgrims and strangers in this land. But I'm very thankful that it's a dichotomy. It's a contradiction that while I'm a pilgrim and stranger in this land, the land that he gives us spiritually to dwell in our spirit, is land that we're taking with us. I really believe that. I believe that part of our mansion or part of our experience in heaven, I believe I will be rejoicing and praising God for all of eternity for the victories and the places that he gave us in this life. How could they not have bowed before him and praised his name as holy, holy, holy? It's because of him. So while I'm a pilgrim and a stranger in this land, I'm thankful for the ground and the places the Lord gives us. And that's what he wants to give us this morning. He wants to expand the land that we're in to help us to be able to run our race faithful and patient before him. I ask that you pray for me. I want to be faithful.